Okay, good morning, everyone. Okay, I hope everybody's well. And we're going to be continuing our discussion of the Omer, Sfirat HaOmer. If you remember, what we were doing last week is we were describing the two korbanos at the ends of the spectrum. We have the Korban HaOmer, which is brought on the second day of Pesach. And then we have the Korban of the Shtei HaLechem, that is brought on Shavuos. And the Omer is a barley offering, and it is a Korban Mincha. And just to remember, just to give you a picture of it, like all Menachot, not all Menachot, but like a Mincha Solet, it's called, it is fine flour mixed with oil, although it's barley flour, which is unique. And then the Kohen takes a Kemitza, essentially a fistful. The Kometz is burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest of the Mincha is baked as matzah and eaten by the Kohanim, right? So part of it is Nikrav on the Mizbeach, and part of it is Nachal by the Kohanim. And the Omer has a very important function that it permits the consumption of grain that is Chadash, because the grain of the new year would be prohibited in Eretz Yisrael. We talked about Chutz Laretz last week, but in Eretz Yisrael for sure, excuse me, the grain of the new year is prohibited until the bringing of the Omer. So the Omer matirs the Chadash. Now the Omer is unique because it is barley rather than wheat. But in terms of the Kemitza and the Shirayim, right, the Kemitza is what you burn and the Shirayim is what is eaten by the Kohanim. It is like every other mincha, and it must be baked as matzah. And again, I want to emphasize, the reason why the Omer must be baked as matzah is not only because it's Pesach, but because there's a general rule of a korban mincha throughout the year that it should be matzah and not chametz. So the matzah of the Omer and the fact that it's Pesach are not directly related. It's a din and a mincha that it has to be a matzah. And the Omer matirs chadash. Now, 50 days later, we have on Shavuos the Shtei HaLechem. And the Shtei HaLechem is wheat, two loaves of wheat bread. But very unusually, and this is absolutely unique, the wheat bread of the Shtei HaLechem is chametz. It actually is chametz. So that's one unique aspect of it. The second unique aspect of it is that the Shtei HaLechem, many people say, is not even a korban because there is no portion of it that is sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Rather, the Kohen takes the Shtei HaLechem and does what is called tenufa. He stands in front of the Mizbeach and he lifts it and lowers front, back, up, down. And after the tenufa, the Shtei HaLechem are consumed by the Kohanim who are in service that day. And there is literally no chelek to the Mizbeach at all. Again, I want to point out that that is a unique feature because normally the way Menachot work is part of it is sacrificed on the Mizbeach. That's called the Kometz. And then the rest is eaten by the Kohanim. With the Shtei HaLechem, there is no chelek l'mizbeach. And the other unique feature, as I said before, is that it is chametz rather than matzah. Now, the same way the Omer matirs the eating of chadash, the Shtei HaLechem also matirs the isser of chadash. And in particular, it matirs the bringing of menachos from new grain, meaning to say, between the Omer and the Shtei HaLechem date, any mincha that you bring in the Beis HaMikdash must still be of the old grain. So the Omer is the heter for the consumption of Chadash, and the Shtei HaLechem is the heter for the utilization of Chadash in a Korban mincha. In fact, I want to point out a very common mistake that people have. We know that one of the names of the holiday of Shavuos is, it is Yom HaBikurim or Chag HaBikurim, the day of the first fruits. Excuse me. And if you ask almost anybody, why is Shavuos called the day of the first fruits? So they will associate it with the first fruits. Actually, it's not just fruit, it's the Shivas Aminim that every farmer in Eretz Yisrael has to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. And the season of the Bikurim, although it's not limited to Shavuos, it's the whole summer, but it starts from Shavuos. That is actually incorrect, because you actually do not bring Bikurim on Shavuos. You start bringing Bikurim after Shavuos. Bikurim are not brought on Shavuos itself. But the reason why the holiday of Shavuos is called Yom HaBikurim is because the Shtei HaLechem is the first korban from the new grain that you're able to bring, and that matters the new grain for other menachos. So it's not referring to the Bikurim that you give to the Kohen, it is referring to the inauguration of the Menachos from Chadash, which is permitted via the bringing of the Shtei HaLechem. So that's a very common mistake that people make. So once again, the way the Mishnah describes it, the Omer matirs the Chadash ba-Medina, Ushtei halechem b'mikdash. The Omer permits the consumption of chadash b'medina throughout the country, and the shtei halechem matirs the chadash in the Beis HaMikdash itself for the korban mincha. Now, just to focus on something a little bit, why is it that the Omer is barley and the shtei halechem is wheat? So Chazal actually give us a reason for that, because Chazal say that typically in those days, barley was fed to animals. This is before the invention of cholent and the like. So barley was fed to animals. Now Pesach is the holiday of freedom, the holiday of liberation. Shavuos is the holiday of Torah and submission to God. The Omer is the linkage between freedom and responsibility. It is Kabbalah Satorah that gives meaning to freedom. A freedom without commitment to Hashem, a freedom without submission, is not only worthless, it is ultimately very destructive. It is counterproductive. And that is why the Korban HaOmer of Pesach is Sa'orim, which is Machal Behema, and the Korban of Shavuos is Chitim, which is Michal Adam, because moving from freedom to Torah is taking us from animal liberation to human freedom and dignity. Because once again, Svira Sa'omer is the linkage between freedom and responsibility. And when the freedom is unhitched with the responsibility to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it becomes very negative, very destructive. And this, of course, we see in society all over the world. And this is kind of the condition and the problem of the generation that we are living in. In fact, if I could digress for a moment, you know, it's very, very interesting that the night of Leil Seder, the first day of Pesach, is always the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. So whatever day, whatever night and day is Leil Seder on the first day of Pesach, that will be the ninth of Av later in the summer. Now, obviously, there are never any coincidences. Like some say, that's why Ashkenazim eat a hard-boiled egg at the beginning of the meal, because the hard-boiled egg is a michal that you give a mourner after a levaya, because it's oval and it represents the idea that time is a cycle. There are good times, but there are bad times, but the bad times will eventually give way to good times. And the Nicham Avelim is that we actually think of Tisha B'Av Leil Seder. And the question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the calendar in that particular configuration? So I would suggest as a speculation that the first day of Pesach, the Leil Seder, is the only day of Pesach that's not yet connected to Shavuos, because the counting of the Omer does not begin until the second day. So you could actually say that the first day of Pesach represents pure freedom that's not yet encumbered by Torah. And maybe the remez is, when your freedom is not subservient to the Ratzon Hashem, you will get a Tisha B'Av. The first day of Pesach that is not yet linked with Kabbalah Satira will result in a Churban Beis HaMikdash. The hard-boiled egg that you eat the first night of Pesach is the substitute for Sviras HaOmer. And that, again, going back to the barley and the wheat, and that is why Chazal say the Korban HaOmer is Sa'orim, which is Michael Behema, and the Korban of Shavuos, the Shtei HaLechem, is Michael Adam. By the way, as a little aside, the Ishbitzer Rebbe, who was the Rebbe of Rav Tzadok, the Mei Shiluach, and Shlomo Kalbach popularized them in recent years, gives another perspective on the hard-boiled egg. And it really overlaps, but it's a different way of looking at it. He points out that unlike mammals that only have a single birth, right? Mammals are born live. Birds have a double birth, so to speak. A chicken lays an egg. So that's birth stage number one. And then eventually the egg is hatched. The chickling, the chick goes out of the egg. So there's the laying of the egg and there is the hatching of the egg. So birds are born in two stages. And the reason we have an egg on Pesach is to remind us that just as birds are born in two stages, Klal Yisrael was born in two stages. There's Yetzias Mitzrayim and there's Matan Torah. It's the same point, but it's using a different metaphor. Instead of using the idea that the egg is a Nichum Avelim because it's connected to Chorban, it uses the idea that the egg represents the creation of life in two stages, and therefore, even at Leil Seder, a Jew has to recognize that freedom is not the ultimate goal. So this explains anomaly number one. Why is the Omer Sa'orim and the Shtei HaLechem Chitim? But let's go with anomaly number two. That is, there is a general rule throughout the entire year that Menachot normally have to be Matzah. That the menachot are not supposed to be leavened, they are not supposed to be chametz at all. And the one absolute glaring exception to this rule is the Shtei HaLechem of Shavuos, which not only are permitted to be chametz, they have to be chametz. There is a mitzvah to bring them as chametz. Now, there is one other exception, which I'm not going to talk about today, and that's really a private offering. When a person brings a Thanksgiving offering, along with the Thanksgiving offering, they bring 40 loaves of bread. 30 of them are unleavened and 10 of them are chametz. So that's the lachmi toda. So I'm just mentioning it just to be accurate in my presentation, that the only two korbanos, meal offerings, that have any aspect of chametz attached to them are 10 out of the 40 breads that a yachid, not the community, a yachid brings as a korban toda, which is not our topic today. And the other is the communal offering for Klal Yisrael of the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos. So why is it chametz? So Maral points out a very interesting thing. We know normally that chametz is a remez to the Yetzer Hara. It represents arrogance, it represents spoilage. And chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. And when we talk about bior chametz, when we talk about getting rid of chametz, part of that is also burning and destroying the Yetzer Hara. So we become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, there's a Kabbalistic prayer, maybe some of you recited it, that at the time that you burn the chametz, you actually say, the same way that I was zoche to burn my physical chametz, may I be zoche to destroy the chametz of my lave, the gaiva in my heart, the ego in my heart, that will permit me to become closer to Hashem. So chametz is yetzer hara. Now, listen to this. There's a famous gemara in Masechet Shabbos that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Shemayim to be mekabel the Torah, the Malachi HaShareis tried to stop him. The Malachi HaShareis said to God, why are you wasting your precious, glorious Torah on human beings that are so prone to sin, that have such, they just are not going to keep it. They're going to desecrate your Torah. And the Malachi HaShareis didn't want to let Hashem give the Torah to human beings. And Moshe Rabbeinu was terrified by all these malachim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally told Moshe Rabbeinu, give them an answer. And if you're afraid, again, the Gemara says, Hashem told Moshe, hold on to my throne and that will give you confidence. Obviously, these are very mystical ideas. But Moshe Rabbeinu's ultimate answer was, hey, the Torah says, don't eat meat and milk. Do you angels eat? The Torah says, honor your father and mother. Do you angels have a father and mother? Do you have jealousy? Do you have rivalry? You don't have a yetzer hara that needs to be corrected and directed by a Torah. The Torah doesn't apply to you because the Torah is designed precisely to help us struggle with our yetzer hara and become better people. So it turns out, interestingly enough, that the only reason we got the Torah is because of our yetzer hara. Because if we would be as perfect as angels, we would not need the Torah. The Torah wouldn't apply to us. Memela says the Maharal, on the day of Matan, the day of Shavuos, when you are celebrating Matan Torah, you cannot deny the Yetzer Hara a place at the table, because it's only because of the Yetzer Hara that we got the Torah in the first place. Therefore, the Shtei Halachem, which is Chametz, and Chametz is a remez to the Yetzer Hara, is permitted as a Korban on Shavuos, because it actually is the Yetzer Hara that entitled us to get the Torah in the first place. That was essentially Moshe Rabbeinu's argument with the Malachi HaShareis. Moreover, we could just add a little extra twist to this. It is the Torah that enables us to control our Yetzer Hara. And therefore, the Yetzer Hara is a bad thing. But when you have Torah, you can live with it. And therefore, the Yetzer Hara gains admission on Shavuos. And that is why the Shtei HaLechem is Chametz and not Matzah, as would be the case for Menachot the entire year. Okay, but be it as it may, where this leaves us is that Pesach and Shavuos are bracketed by these two major offerings, the Korban HaOmer on day two of Pesach and the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos. Bizman HaZeh, the Isser of Chadash is taken off by the day, meaning we don't have a Korban HaOmer Bizman HaZeh. So how could you ever eat Chadash? And the answer is we eat Chadash because the Gemara says when there's no Beis HaMikdash, the morning of the 16th of Nisan will take off the Isser of Chadash. And the Takana of Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai is you have to wait the entire 16th of Nisan and don't eat the Chadash until the 17th of Nisan. He added one day, etc. And that is the rule even today. Again, let me remind you what the definition of Chadash and Yashan is, because all Chadash eventually becomes Yashan. Any grain that took root after the second day of Pesach is new grain that cannot be eaten until next year when you have the Omer or the 17th of Nisan. If, however, the grain took root before the second day of Pesach, even if it grew after Pesach and even if it was harvested after Pesach, it is halachically yashan because it was already in the ground growing by the day of the Hakrabas HaOmer or the day of the 16th or the 17th of Nisan. So it is important to know that even if the grain, even if 99.9% of the growth of the grain occurred after Pesach, that grain is still halachically yashan if it was hishrish kodem, the day of the Omer. Therefore, as I said last week, between Pesach and Sukkot, there is never going to be a chadash problem because any grain product that you get until Sukkot must have been something that was planted before Pesach and the Omer took care of it. It is only after Sukkot that you begin to have chadash problems because the grain could have been planted after Pesach and harvested after Sukkot. But as I say, you don't have to worry if you have a hashgacha because reliable, certainly reliable Israeli hashgachos will not certify anything that is chadash. In the United States, it is more questionable because, as I mentioned last week, many hashgachos, including the OU, rely on the Ramah, who permits essentially chadash in chutz la'aretz because of a variety of doubts. More mahadrin hashgachos, like the Star K, will not certify a chadash product. So that's a very important issue in terms of checking. In other words, hashgachos don't really guarantee anything in the U.S., they will guarantee that problem in Eretz Yisrael itself. Okay, so that's what I wanted to share with you about the korbanos, the Omer and the Shteya Lechem. But now let's move to a mitzvah that we do practice today, and that is the counting of the Omer. So now look at what the pasuk says. Usvartem lachem mimacharas haShabbos, you should start counting from the day after Shabbos, I'll come back to that. Miyom haviyachem es omer hatanufa, from the day that you bring the omer meal offering that was also waved before the kemitzah was burned. Sheva shabbosos tamimos tiyana, 7 complete weeks. Ad mimacharas haShabbos haShviyas, until the morrow of the 7th week, you shall count 50 days. And then what does it say? V'hikravtem. And then you bring mincha chadasha l'Hashem, a new meal offering. What does a new meal offering mean? The shtei halechem. Right? After you count 49 days, on the 50th day, you bring a mincha from the new grain. Right? The new grain. That's the shtei alechem, right? So actually, the pasuk encompasses both korbanos, miyom haviyachem es omer atnufa, and mincha chadasha l'Hashem. I think you now have a better understanding of what is mincha chadasha. That is referring to the shtei alechem, which is described in more detail in other pesukim in the Torah. Now, question number one is, when do you start counting? You will notice the Torah does not say beferish that you count from the second day of Pesach. It says you start counting mimacharas haShabbos, the day after Shabbos. Now, normally Shabbos in the Torah refers to Saturday, and macharas haShabbos would be Sunday. So indeed, the Gemara says this was a huge machlokas for hundreds of years between the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, who did not believe in the oral law, and the Prushim, the Pharisees, which are our Chazal, in which the Sadducees said, you start the counting of the Omer the first Sunday after Pesach, meaning after the first day of Pesach, which means that if the first day of Pesach is Wednesday, you don't start counting the Omer Thursday, you start counting the Omer Sunday. Meaning they understood Mimacharas haShabbos literally meant Sunday, which means every single year the Omer would start on a different calendar date, depending on Mimacharas haShabbos. Now, this was the view of the Tzduken, and it was later taken over, and it's practiced to this very day, by the Karoim. So here again, let me just digress a little bit, a tiny bit of history. Do not confuse the Tzdukim and the Karaim. There is a lot of overlap in terms of their belief systems, but they are two different movements. The Tzdukim, Sadducees is the translation, were the followers of a man called Tzadok, and this was a movement that existed during the final decades of the second Beis HaMikdash, and they essentially disappeared with the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. There were no Tzedukim after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. The followers of Tzadok were largely wealthy, aristocratic, politically well-connected. It's very, very interesting that some of the richest, wealthiest people were Sadducees. There may have been perhaps some connection with Christianity. That's an interesting phenomenon that one would have to look to. And the like. And they did not accept the Torah Shebal Peh and the Drushas of Chazal. And the Gemara records a number of open controversies between the Prushim and the Tzedukim. Now, the Tzedukim did disappear after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. I mean, I can't say there was not a single one alive, but basically, they were no longer a movement within Judaism. Now, if we fast forward to a much later period of time, around the 11th century, the 1000s. That is almost 1,000 years after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, after the Mishnah, after the Gemara, in the time of the Gaonim, we find a movement arose in Klal Yisrael that were called the Karaim, the Karaites, and this was in the time of Rav Sadia Gaon. And in fact, it's interesting that the whole Karaite movement may have been founded by a rabbi, Anan ben David, who wanted the job that went to Rav Sadia Gaon. So he didn't get the position of the Gaon of Sura, so he started his own rival religion. It was not out of philosophical or religious grounds. It was actually the jealousy of not getting a position. And the Karaim, kind of, you could say, maybe this is not totally accurate, they essentially resuscitated the dormant, extinct beliefs of the Sadducees, and they too did not accept the idea of the Torah Shebal Peh. Now, unlike the Tzedukim, which were extinct after the Chorban, the Karaites are still alive to this very day. They have websites. I mean, they're a very small movement, but they are a movement. There's a chief Karaite rabbi. And what's fascinating is, you know, when you ask, what does it mean to be a Karaite? And they'll say, well, they only accept the written Tanakh. They do not accept the oral law. Well, you know, that's not entirely true. And I'll tell you why. It is impossible for any tradition not to have some type of oral tradition explaining things. I mean, I remember once in the Harvard Library, I was looking at the Judaica section, and I came across religious books written by Karaites, a Karaite sitter. Now, what's going to be in a Karaite sitter? A Karaite sitter will have the Tehillim of David, Psukei Dezimra. A Karaite sitter will have Shema, but a Karaite sitter will not have the Shemona Esrei, because that is a rabbinic product. But instead of a Shemona Esrei, there were long poetic compositions of their own. In other words, they don't only look at the Tanakh. They have their own poetry, their own rituals, their own prayers. So really, to simply say, we only look at the written Torah, we don't look at the oral Torah, is not really true. They don't look at our oral Torah, which of course we believe is the true Torah, but they have their oral Torah. So the Karaites have their own traditions as well. And the Karaites are still around to this very day. And to this very day, and you can even see this on their website, they start counting the Omer. They do count an Omer period, but they count it mimacharas ha-Shabbos from a Sunday. But we know that our Messiah is very, very strong, that even though the Torah says you start counting the Omer, Mimacharas, HaShabbos, Shabbos in that Pasuk does not mean Saturday. Shabbos in that Pasuk means a day of rest, which refers to Yom Tov, because Yom Tov can also be called a day of Shavisa, Mimlacha, and Mimacharat HaShabbat means the day after the day of rest, which is the first day of Pesach. In other words, Shabbos does not mean Saturday. It means the day of Shavitah, which is the first day of Pesach. And that is why every single year, the counting of the Omer starts, according to us, on the 16th of Nisan, whether it's a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday, whatever it would be. Now, if you look at the Mishnah in Maseches Menachos, which discusses the Sfiras HaOmer, you will see over and over again that the Chachamim went to very great lengths to dispel the fallacy or the distortion of the Tzedukim in many, many public ways, that the Omer was brought with a great deal of fanfare and a great deal of publicity, and part of it was Lahotzi Miliban Shel Tzedukim, to exclude, to refute the erroneous belief of the Tzedukim. And the Gemara actually says the Tzedukim's calculation of the Omer actually had a certain attraction to people. Think about this why. Because if the Omer starts on Sunday, Shavuos is always going to be on Sunday. Because the 50th day of the Omer is always the same day as day one of the Omer, because 49 days is 7 complete weeks. And then the next day is the start of that next week. So there's a special advantage in Eretz Yisrael when Shavuos is Sunday, and that is you get a two-day holiday because you get Shabbos and Sunday. So the Tzedukim's position was very popular with the uneducated people, because they said, oh, Baruch Hashem, we get ourselves 2 days off from work. Masha Ein Kein, according to the Pharisees, according to the Purushim, that's not always the case, right? If you start counting the Omer on Wednesday, so Shavuos is Wednesday, okay, that's fine. Then you got to go back to work on Thursday and Friday, and then you get Shabbos. So the notion of the two-day vacation was so popular that people actually went along with the Tzedukim. But nevertheless, that's not the halacha. And Mimacharas HaShabbos is the day after the second day of Pesach. Okay. Now, the Torah requires that we count. And as I said before, the idea here is you want to create a counting up. You don't count down, you count up as you're reaching higher and higher levels, preparing for the Torah. And what the Torah wants to emphasize is freedom and Torah are one thing, and therefore you have to connect them by the counting of the Omer. Okay, so big machlokas. Is the counting of the Omer Bizman Hazeh a Da'oraisa requirement, or is it a Rabbanan requirement? Very, very Yesodistic Machlokes. Taisvas in Menachos says, and this is most Rishonim say this, that Sviras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, is only Midrabanan. Why? Because look at the language of the Torah. Usvartim Lachem Mimacharas HaShabbos. You start counting from the day after the Yom Tov of Pesach. Look at the next words. Miyom haviyachem es omer hatnufa. You start counting the omer from the day that you bring the korban haomer. So Tosas and Menachos says, Bizman hazeh, where we're not able to bring the korban haomer because there's no Beis HaMikdash, there is no chiyuv to count the Omer. The Torah, if the Torah would have said, start counting from a date, okay, that would be an absolute obligation. But if the Torah says, start counting from the bringing of the Omer, the implication is, says Tosfos, when you don't bring the Omer, there is no mitzvah to count. So because of this, it is the Shita Satosfos that Svira Bizman Hazeh is only Midrabanan, and it's called a Zecher LeMikdash. It is a commemoration. It is a reminder of what we used to do when we had a Beis HaMikdash, and in that way we yearn for the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash. That is the Shita of Taisus. The Rambam has a different opinion. The Rambam's opinion is that even when there's no Beis HaMikdash and even when there's no Korban HaOmer, Sviras HaOmer is an independent mitzvah. And Sviras HaOmer, even Bizman HaZeh, is a Da'oraisa mitzvah. This is the Shita of the Rambam. Now, before we count the Omer, we do make a bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al Sviras HaOmer, that God sanctified us. So here's the question. According to the Rambam, I understand why you make a bracha, because God commanded you to count the Omer. But according to Tosfos, that the counting of the Omer is only midrabanan, and Hashem did not command me to count the Omer when I don't have a Beis HaMikdash, why do I make a bracha? How can I say the words, Hashem commanded us to count the Omer, Hashem did not command us to count the Omer? How can you make a bracha, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, if the Torah doesn't command? Now, of course, obviously, this is not a question, because there are so many commandments that are rabbinic, and we still make the bracha, Asher kiddushanu, lighting Hanukkah candles, reading the Megillah, blowing shofar on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. All of those are drabbanans. And the Rambam himself, although by Sfira, the Rambam holds it's Daraisa, so he doesn't need this answer. But the Rambam himself explains that since the Torah obligates me to listen to the Takanos and Gezeros of the Chachamim, so every time I listen to what the Rabbanan told me to do, I am fulfilling the commandment of God. So the commandment, so it's interesting. So when it says, according to this opinion, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, that God commanded me with his commandments, or sanctified us with his commandments, vitzivanu, on the counting of the Omer, it doesn't mean, according to Tosfos, that God commanded me to count the Omer. He didn't when there's no Beis HaMikdash. But God commanded me to obey the Chachamim, so memela, when I count the Omer, I am fulfilling the mitzvah of Lai Sasur. Do not depart. Mikael Asher Yagidu Lecha, from whatever they tell you, Yamin Usma. Okay. Now, is there a practical difference if the mitzvah is the Araisa, like the Rambam, or the mitzvah is only Midrabanan, like Tosfos? Either way, you got to do it. So what would the difference, and either way you make a bracha, so what would the difference be? So the answer would be, it does make a very big difference, and that is, how early can you count the counting of the Omer? Because we know that you normally cannot count the Omer until it's nightfall, it's the next day. And the definition of night in halacha is seis ha-kechavim, when the stars are out, when you can see three stars in the sky. And in Eretz Yisrael, that's typically, depending on the time of year, but it's typically around 35 minutes after sunset. We keep Shabbos longer because of the mitzvah of adding on to Shabbos, but technically Shabbos is really over. Well, maybe I shouldn't say this because we're supposed to keep Tosefta Shabbos, but technically Shabbos is over around 35 minutes after sunset, because you have three stars, three medium-sized stars in the sky. Now, what in areas that are north, like New York or Europe, Seis HaKochavim is going to be longer. In other words, the length of time between sunset and the appearance of the stars is not so much a function of the time of year. Winter and summer are not so much different, actually. The key factor that determines the length of a twilight period is how north or south of the equator is it. The closer you are to the equator, the faster will be the emergence of darkness after sunset. So Eretz Yisrael, which is south of New York and of France and the like, Tzeisa Kochavim is pretty fast. So in Eretz Yisrael, it's around 35 minutes. In New York, it might be 40, 45 minutes. And depending on the time of year, even longer. But this is not, I want to emphasize, this is not a winter-summer thing. Winter may have shorter days and summer may have longer days, yeah. But when you're talking about the twilight periods, the twilights of summer are not longer than the twilights of winter. This is a common mistake I think people often make. The twilight issue there is some seasonal affect, but not that much. It is not predominantly a seasonal issue. It's an issue of proximity to the equator, north or south. Now, what is the period between sunset and the emergence of three stars? That period in English is called the twilight period. Halachically, that period is given a name, and that name is called Bein Hashmashos, kind of intermediate. It's between day and night. What is the status of Bein Hashmashot? So Bein Hashmashot, the halacha says, is called Safek Yom, Safek Laila, meaning halachically, there are actually three possibilities. Perhaps it's all daylight until the stars come out, or perhaps it's already night from sunset, or perhaps there's some change at any point in the middle where it could occur. It's a Safek. Now, because Bein Hashmashot is a halachic suffix, we are mechuyav to be machmir with all of the possibilities, even if they're inconsistent. So let's take Shabbos as a very, very simple example. Everybody knows that you're not allowed to do malacha Friday as soon as the sun goes down, right? We light candles much earlier, but no matter how late you're running, once it is shkia, once it is sunset, you're absolutely not allowed to do malacha. That's a dover pasha. Why? Because it's Bein Hashmashos, and Bein Hashmashos might be night. So if it would be day, you'd be allowed to do malacha. But since it might be night, you're not allowed to do malacha. So Shabbos begins no later than Bein Hashmashos. Again, we begin earlier than that, but in terms of the absolute latest point at which Shabbos could start, you cannot possibly do malacha once it is shkia. Now, by Motzei Shabbos, I have to wait until the stars are out. So you may ask Akasha, if I'm not allowed to do malacha when the sun sets Friday night, why am I not allowed to do malacha when the sun sets Saturday night? The answer is very pashut. The same way that Friday night you had to be machmir to treat Bein Hashmashos as Laila, so when you're leaving Shabbos, you have to be machmir to treat Bein Hashmashos as possibly Yom, and therefore you're not allowed to do malacha until it is definitively night, which is Seisgul Chavim. That is why, by definition, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, is always going to be more than 24 hours, because you're not going from sunset to sunset or Tseisa Kechavim to Tseisa Kechavim. You're going from sunset to Tseisa Kechavim. So that's going to be more. Now, again, let me point out that I'm making a lot of assumptions in what I said, and everything I said could be qualified. I am assuming that Bein Hashmashos begins with Shkia, and it ends with the emergence of three stars. That is the prevailing halacha, and that is certainly the Minog of Eretz Yisrael, absolutely. But there are other shitas. There's Rabbeinu Tam's shita. There's a lot of other complications. And one can write a whole book on it. And there are, in fact, many, many books on it that, in fact, have been written. So, you know, you don't have to send me an email that I misstated. I didn't mention Rabbeinu Tam. I'm aware of all of these different shitas. But just to keep it relatively simple, we're going to work with the assumption that Bein HaShmashos begins at Shkia and it ends when you have Tzeisah Kechavim, and you have to be Machmir in both sides, both when Shabbos begins and when Shabbos ends. Now, let me give you an interesting hypothetical. We know that if a baby is born on Shabbos, the baby has a bris on Shabbos. That's the eighth day, right? The eighth day. A bris on the eighth day is even done on Shabbos, even though a bris is a chilul Shabbos because it's causing bleeding and the like. So what if a baby is born on Friday? The baby has the bris on Friday, right? Very simple. So a Friday baby has a Friday bris. A Shabbos baby has a Shabbos bris. Okay. Now, what if a baby is born late Friday afternoon, after sunset, but before the stars came out? The baby is born in the Bein HaShmashos period. So he's either a Friday baby or he's a Shabbos baby, but we don't know. So when can I give him the bris? So this is fascinating. I can't give him a bris on Friday, because maybe Bein HaShmashos is night and it was already Shabbos. And if I do the bris on Friday, I'm doing the bris on the seventh day. That's too early. So I can't do the bris on Friday, because maybe Friday is day seven if Bein HaShmashos is night. Oh, so you might say, oh, do the bris on Shabbos. Because if he's a Friday baby, it's day nine. And if he's a Shabbos baby, it's day eight. Well, you got a problem. The only bris you're allowed to do on Shabbos is an eight-day bris. But a bris that is after the eighth day cannot be done on Shabbos. So when the baby is born, Bein HaShmashos, of Friday going into Shabbos, I can't do the bris on Shabbos, because maybe Bein HaShmashos is day, and if it's day, he's Friday, and Shabbos is the ninth day. So, B'chiyai Gavna, when a baby is born, Bein HaShmashos of Friday going into Shabbos, I can't do the bris on Friday, and I can't do the bris on Shabbos. I have to do the bris on Sunday. And what's interesting is Sunday is for sure the wrong day, because Sunday is either the ninth day after birth or the eighth day after birth, right? If he's a Friday baby, it's ninth day. If he's a Shabbos baby, if he's a Friday baby, it's the 10th day. If he's a Shabbos baby, it's the 9th day. So for sure, it's the wrong day. In other words, for sure, I'm not doing the mitzvah of Milah B'Yom HaShmini. For sure, I'm not. Nevertheless, Sunday is the earliest that you're able to mal this baby because of the din of Bein HaShmashos. Now, just to clarify the easier case, what if the baby is born Saturday afternoon after Shkia Bein HaShmashos? So there, for sure, you do the bris on Sunday, but there you at least have a chance that you're doing the eighth day, because if Bein HaShmashos is Lila, so he's a Sunday baby, so that's a little better. There at least there's a 50% chance that you're doing the bris on the eighth day. Okay. So this is the general rule of Bein HaShmashos. It is a Safek Yom, Safek Laila. And therefore, you have to be Machmir. So here is the question. In many shuls, they daven Ma'ariv right after sunset, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. They don't wait until the stars come out. They daven Arvit right after sunset. Some even do beforehand, but let's talk about davening after sunset. Now, point number one is you certainly have to say the Shema over again. The Shema is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and the Shema of the evening can only be said when it's definitely night. So of course you have to say Shema over again. But here's the question. Are you allowed to count the Omer of the new day in the Bein HaShmashos period? Meaning if I'm davening Ma'ariv in a shul, maybe I'm the chazan, or maybe I'm just davening Ma'ariv in the shul, and the sun has gone down, but the stars have not come out yet, am I allowed to count with a bracha the Svira of the new day? So this actually depends on the Machlokes, Tosvos, and the Rambam. According to the Rambam, that the mitzvah of counting the Omer is a Torah commandment. And we are in doubt if this is the right time has arrived yet. We're in doubt whether it's the new day. There is a principle whenever it comes to a Torah commandment. This is exactly how Shabbos works. Safek d'oraisa l'chumra. All doubts that pertain to the fulfillment of a biblical commandment have to be resolved in the strictest way possible. So if I am a suppik, if Bein HaShmashos is the old day or the new night, Legabe Edoraisa, I have to be machmir and assume it is still day, and I can't count the Omer yet until it is nightfall. So according to the Shita Sarambam, you would not be allowed to count the Omer until Tseis HaKochavim because of the rule of Safek D'oraisa L'chumra. Masha'en Kein, according to Tosfos, that Bizman Hazeh, the mitzvah of counting the Omer is only a rabbinic law because in the absence of a Korban HaOmer, there is no chiyuv to count the oraisa. So, legabe d'rabbanan, we have an opposite rule. Safek d'rabbanan, any doubts that pertain to rabbinic law, lakula, you can give yourself the benefit of the doubt. So what would that mean? What that would mean is, if I am in doubt whether Bein HaShmashot is the old day or it's the new night, I'm allowed to give myself the benefit of the doubt and treat it like the new night, and I'd be able to count. So Lamaisa, many poskim actually say that because most Rishonim follow Taisvas, that Svira Bizman Hazeh is Drabanan, you can count the Omer Bein HaShmashos, and they actually recommend that if you're in Shul, you should count it Bein HaShmashos because you might forget later on. Nevertheless, B'nai Torah should try to be machmer. I mean, in fact, most people should try to be machmer if you feel you're not going to forget. And it is much, much better to count with a bracha later. But even if you count with a bracha Bein HaShmashos, you should still try to count without a bracha later. So at least you'll be, I'd say, the Rambam Shita to have done the mitzvah d'oraisa. So what I'm saying is, it would be best not even to make the bracha till Tseis HaKochavim. But if you do make the bracha in HaShmashos, you have certainly a makom to be Seimech. But even if you do that, one should try to remember to count again without a bracha in order to fulfill the d'oraisa of the Rambam, who would be mechayev you to wait until Tseis HaKochavim because of Safek. So far I mentioned two shitas. Rambam says d'oraisa, Taisvah says d'rabbanan. I'm now going to mention, but I'll save for next week to explain, a third shita. And this third shita is the shita of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham, perhaps not such a famous Rishon, but Rabbeinu Yerucham is an extremely important Rishon. He was a Talmud of the Rush. And he is quoted extremely often in the Beis Yosef and other Sifrei Halacha. So he was one of the great, great, great poskim who is often quoted in all types of halachic literature. And Rabbeinu Yerucham says a very strange thing. We'll try to explain it, but I just want to give you the shita. We know that when you count the Omer, we count it both in terms of days and in terms of weeks. So for example, today is the 30th day. So we say Hayom Shaloshim Yom. It is 30 days, right? Shehem Arba Shavuos. They are 4 weeks and 2 days. The Gemara says you have to count the Omer both in terms of days and in terms of weeks. And this is based on the fact that the Torah itself uses those two measurements, because it says, Sheva Shabbosais Tamimais, 7 weeks, Tisperu Chamishim Yaim, and you count 50 days, really 49 days, culminating in 50. So mitzvah lemimne yaime, there's a mitzvah to count days, u'mitzvah lemimne shavuye, and a mitzvah to count weeks. We all know this. So listen to Rabbeinu Yerucham. This is going to throw you for a loop. He says, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, counting of the days is the Eiraisa, and counting of the weeks is only Mitrabana. So he learns the days remain the Eiraisa, the weeks are Drabana. Again, that seems kind of inexplicable. If Sfira depends on the Omer, everything should be Drabanan. If Sfira doesn't depend on the Omer, everything should be Daraisa. Mehechi Tesi to be Mechalek between Yamim and Shavuot. I'll save that for next week. But I want to tell you a very fascinating point. Those of you who are Svardim or Temonim, many of you may have noticed this anyway, that the way they count, the way they count days and weeks is the following. Instead of saying, let's say, an Ashkenazi would say, Hayom Shloshim Yom, Shehem Arba'a Shavuos Ushnei Yamim, Ba Omer or La Omer, that's another controversy. We put in La Omer or Ba Omer at the end of the sentence. But what do Eidot HaMizrach say? Hayom Shloshim Yom Ba Omer Shehem Arba Shavuos Ushnei Yamin. Do you see the difference? They put the word Ba Omer after the days and then they state the weeks, as opposed to putting the word Ba Omer at the end of the weeks. What would be the basis of that? What would be the logic of that? So, this might be a remez to Rabbeinu Yerucham's opinion that the days bizman hazeh are da'oraisa and the weeks are only drabanan. So consequently, we want to affix the word ba'omer to the chelek of the svira that is the oraisa. Hayom shaloshim yom ba'omer. That's the da'oraisa. Shehem Arba Shavuos Ushnei Yamin. So it's fascinating. I didn't see this anywhere, and I didn't even look into it. Maybe I'll try to look into it a little bit more. But I think it's Yitochen that the Nusach of Eidos HaMizrach might be miyusad on following the view of Rabbeinu Yerucham. So what we will explore next week is, what on earth is the logic of Rabbeinu Yerucham? Why should days be da'oraisa and Shavuos only be midrabanan? Because in Mirza Hashem, next week we will look at this. Everyone should have a good week and be well and kol tov, chodesh tov.